Please take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to be reading from the 35th verse, verse 35 to verse 42. John chapter 1, as we continue the study of the Gospel of John. This is a very exciting area of this Gospel. As we begin to call out the disciples, watch how they're called. Tremendous message here in these precious verses. John chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and he saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is interpreted, "a stone." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today. Beautiful music. Special, please, dear Lord, that you'll just continue to guide and lead us and strengthen us. I thank you for all the folks that are here today to come and to be a part of this family and to listen to your precious word. Please, dear Lord, that you'll just continue each day to strengthen us and to guide and to lead us. We know, dear Father, that as Andrew went to get his brother, we need to do the same. And through some means, through the Word of God that it was proclaimed, each one of us that are here today that know you as our Savior came by hearing the Word. And so please, dear Lord, today, if there are folks here that do not know you as their Savior, that today they will hear the Word and they'll receive you as their Savior. Because, dear Father, we know that your Son, Jesus, died on the cross to take our sin away and then gloriously rose again. Thank you, dear Father, for the precious work of your Son for salvation for us. All we need to do is come in the name of Jesus and believe. So please, guide and lead us today as we enjoy this precious word that you've given us. Touch every heart, whatever the need may be, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, the first time that John the Baptist cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God," the scripture doesn't record any results. But the next day, John preached the very same message, "Behold the Lamb of God," and two of his disciples who heard him followed the Lord Jesus. These two heard the testimony of John concerning Jesus, and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. I usually preach about 30 minutes. John's message didn't seem to be that long. Doesn't matter how long the message is. What matters is its content. Do we preach the Word of God? And so these two disciples followed. We're only told one of their names, and that's Andrew. And you'll find that in the 40th verse. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Some believe that the other individual that was there is none other than John that wrote this precious book for us, John the Beloved. The reason that they believe that is a possibility is because he gives such a day-by-day and almost hour-by-hour schedule of what's going on here. And so it's believed that it probably was John. And you know, John the Beloved refers to himself as the other disciple that Jesus loved. He never speaks of himself using his own name. And so here to not be listed is not uncommon for the John that we know. Let's jump down to verse 40 through 42 just for a minute. Then we'll go back up again because I want you to see what happened when the result of verse 37, they followed Jesus. Now, they followed Jesus. They trusted in the Lord Jesus. What did Andrew do? One of the two which heard John speak, verse 40, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. If nothing else is heard today, we as believers, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, need to understand how simple it is to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to folks that we know. How much did Andrew know of the Word of God? Now, we are told as we come through with others that they know Nathanael. He had a question. Philip, as we look on down through those verses. But here we're not told how much that Andrew knew of the Word of God. But what did he know? Andrew knew Jesus as his Savior. So you see, for us to tell someone else about how we got saved is very simple. He goes running to Peter, his brother. Is there anybody better to go to than your family when you're excited? I have just met Jesus. I have met the Messiah. And what did Andrew do? He brought Peter with him and introduced him to Jesus. Please understand how simple it is. His words, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And what happened next is he brought him to Jesus. You know, Andrew was not in some big meeting. He looking, saw Jesus walking, behold the Lamb of God. That was the message. But Peter received a smaller message in his invitation. It wasn't at some mega church. They didn't have all the big pipe organ and the beautiful music and all the activities that seem to connect with the church today. It was a brother reaching a brother. It was a friend reaching a friend. That's how we're going to win this town and this community and this nation and the world. One by one, as we speak the simple message of salvation. Peter didn't experience any great miracles like the feeding of 5,000. Boy, that would that'd wake you up. He didn't see any great miracles being performed. He didn't even see Jesus face to face. It was a testimony of his brother that brought him. And so our testimony is very important. Please take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 5, verse 19, if you would, please. Matthew, Mark, chapter 5, verse 19. Now, to catch you up a little bit here, here was a madman, a man that had many demons. The Scripture calls them legions. And he was such a wild man that chains couldn't contain him. He would just rip his clothes off. He would cut himself with stones. And when Jesus came on the scene to this man, the demons wanted to know, what do you have to do with me? And what happened to this man? And if you know the story at all, you realize that the demons, they like to possess a body. And there was this, the hogs over here, and so they took them out of the people and put them into the hogs. And we know what they did with that. The swine just ran over the hill into the lake and drowned themselves. It gave freedom to this man. And the freedom that this man found, we're going to read verse 19 now, Mark 5:19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So you see, Andrew went to his brother. This man was told to go home. Speak to your family. Speak to your neighbors. Speak to your friends. The easier way is to put some money in the offering plate and ship it overseas to support some missionaries somewhere, and that's a very necessary work. But the work is here, and we need to win friends and family. And the way we do it is just giving a testimony of what's happened in our heart. The last half of, back to verse 35, the last half of that verse, after John stood and his two disciples, you know, we're not told a lot about where John the Baptist preached. It's near Bethabara, and we know that at that location there was much water, so that they were able to, after they were saved and they trusted the Lord Jesus, then John the Baptist took them down into the water and baptized them, testifying of what had happened into their heart. And so we see that here in verse 35. And now in verse 36, looking up on Jesus as he walked. Now, here we have this crowd of people that is collected out here to come to see John the Baptist, to hear him preach, to watch him baptize these folks. All of a sudden, here we see the Lord Jesus walking among them. And so John, when he sees him, he proclaims, Behold the Lamb of God. And to proclaim, Behold the Lamb of God. You know, the preaching as John preached, and to have Jesus just among the people, and yet the people didn't know him. He had not been in the public eye enough that folks would begin to recognize him. And so he could move in and out of the crowd, but when John saw him, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Same message as before, but this time we have converts. We have folks getting saved this time because they heard the word and heard the message. You know, we need to stay with the old story, with the old book. Everybody's looking for something new. The philosophy of today, the new thoughts of today, the new age of today, everybody's looking for something new. And that's the reason that the church has evolved from its good foundations of teaching the Word of God to all the other activities that it seems to require to draw people in. If the Holy Spirit cannot draw folks in and bring them to hear the Word of God, it's no value in numbers. It's how the Holy Spirit is touching each one of our hearts and souls today. And so as we take out the Word of God, the Holy Spirit touches that heart, and hopefully they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then the step is to invite them to come to hear the Word of God and to grow and to see the love and the joy and the peace that comes with the Lord Jesus. And so today we need to see that this grand old message that John the Baptist is using is the same message that we need to use, the same message we get to chapter 3. You must be born again. There's an old preacher years ago when he took a call at a church. And some of you've heard this, but it makes the point so well that I don't know any better way to say it. They heard him preach. He preached on John chapter 3, you must be born again. The next, they called him. And his first Sunday in the pulpit, he preached John chapter 3, you must be born again. The next Sunday, he preached John chapter 3, you must be born again. The next Sunday, he preached John chapter 3, you must be born again. Oh, deacons, they said, you know, is that the only message you know? And he said, why do you preach you must be born again? He said, because ye must be born again. He knew the people. He knew that they needed to hear the gospel. They didn't need anything else until they were born again and they were saved. It's a simple message, and we need to stay with that simple message. We need to preach the old book. We need to preach the old story. And after we've preached the old story, then we need to preach it again and again and again. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Keep it simple. Tell folks how you got saved. If you can't tell folks how you got saved, better check your salvation. You better see if you're saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, we're going to read from the 10th down through the 13th verse. Simple message. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave to his Son, of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The one I want you to really look to in these verses of Scripture is the 10th verse. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. When we take the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you proclaim the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is able to take the Word of God and touch that individual's heart. Now, it's up to that individual. We are of the time that is of the whosoever. So, it's up to you. The Lord's knocking at your heart's door. He wants to come in. Are you going to invite him in? He will not force himself into your life or into your heart. He does want to come in. He is present. He wants to come, but he will not force himself. Once you come by faith to Jesus and you begin to walk with him, you are a witness. And as you are a witness, we have the power and the strength to take out the word of God. And we need to do it. We need to be as Andrew. Andrew told his brother, I have found the Messiah. That's his witness. That is witness. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to share the gospel. Tell folks what's in your heart. It's that simple. We make it too difficult. We make it too complicated. The Word of God is made simple that all, whatever age, can understand and come by faith to the Lord Jesus. The simple preaching of the Word of God, when it comes, then the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth comes. And you'll find that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to know the Word of God. God's Word confirms God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It begins with moreover in the first verse there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, but which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What I have given you, that which you have received, give." All we have to do is tell people what Jesus has done for me. It's that simple. What Jesus has done for me. Verse 38, the next that took place before Andrew went to talk to his brother, something has taken place here, and we want to talk about that today. Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou?" What seek ye? Another question could be raised from that question, and that is, what can I do for you? What's your reason for following me? Do you really believe that I am the Lamb of God? What is it that you seek? What is it that you're looking for? That's the question. And they said, "Rabbi," means master. This is the reason that many believe that John is really directing more towards the Gentiles, because a Jew would know what the word rabbi means. But instead of that, here he gives us the definition. The question was, where dwellest thou? They wanted to go home with the Lord Jesus. They wanted to go home with the Lord Jesus. They wanted to hear more. They wanted to study. They wanted to fellowship with him. That's exactly what should take place the day that you get saved. In your heart, you should hunger after the Word of God. You should want to know more about Jesus. And when you hunger and thirst, and you come, you go home, you study your Word, you come to church to hear the Word of God preached, you want more. You've got an appetite for the Word of God. And when you have an appetite for the Word of God, that's the Holy Spirit in there wanting to teach you the way of God and the power, teaching you the strength. Jesus wanted to know, what seek ye? And their reply was, where do you live? We want to go home with you. We want to have fellowship with you. We want to get to know you. And again, the first thing that needs to take place in a believer's life. What was Jesus' response? What was the response of the Lord Jesus? Was it not now? Was it maybe later? Was it I have plans? Did he hand them his address and say, I'll be there later? That's kind of the way we treat church and the gospel many times. Yeah, I'd love to take time and tell you about the Lord Jesus, but I've got other things to do. We don't realize how important the gospel of the Lord Jesus is to folks. We don't realize that it's going to keep them out of hell. Our Lord sure does. His response was different than ours. Come and see. Come and see. Invited them immediately. These words of "what seek ye" and "come and see" are the first words of his public ministry that we have. It's the beginning. And what great words that we have here. What seek ye? Come and see. So his first question was, what seek ye? What are you looking for? The second is, come and see the invitation. How simple is the Word of God? With that, what seek ye? You know, every day when we awake in the morning, we all have our little ritual. We all, you know, you had breakfast first, or you shave first, or you got about the same thing. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is, that's what you do. If the neighbors wanted to look across the road, why, they could see me going out to chore and said, yep, they know what time it is. It's about the same time every day. Head down the road, heading to town to work, and they can see the truck, and yep, about right. It's about the same day, same time. So we start the day that way, and off to work we go. Or if you have the great responsibility of taking care of the home, you don't have to leave for work. You're there. The sad thing is that we look at every day as kind of the same old, same old. We should never do that. We should be so excited that the Lord has given us one more day to witness for Him, to share for Him. He has blessed us so much. And so the question could come to us even as believers. What are you looking for? What's important to you? What's your aim in your life? Is your purpose in life is just to get by? I know most folks live to retire. What a shame. A Christian needs to live every day, enjoying the day. If you know Jesus, and the Lord has given you one more day, He wants and will give you mercy and grace for that day. His Word promises that. And so if He promises to give us mercy and grace, with that comes peace and joy and assurance and hope. But most of the time, we get into that same old, same old. And we miss the wonderful blessings of the day. So I guess in this short message here, the Word says, come. That's the best decision anybody can make on earth. It's the most reasonable, most sensible thing that any person has ever done, if you know Jesus as your Savior, is making that decision for the Lord. There is not a greater decision that you can make. So come. And the second part of that is to see. What's He able to do for us? He's able to meet every need that we have. So to wake up, to start the day, let's begin by praising our Lord, thanking Him for what He has done for us. They desired that they could see Jesus. They wanted to talk to Him. He said, come and see. He wanted to know what they were all about. What are you looking for? And you know, that question is definitely with a lost person, but sometimes it's to a saved person. What are you looking for? What's it going to take to make you happy? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come and see, because He will bring peace into your heart. Joy into your life, power and strength and wisdom. Jesus invited them, Verse 39, they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. He believes that there's a couple of hours of daylight left, and so we're not sure whether they just stayed the rest of the afternoon to the evening or they stayed the night. But they wanted to spend time with Jesus. And that's exactly what should happen to our in our lives. We should want to spend time with the Lord Jesus. What kind of a house did they go to? Some big mansion? I'm sure it was a very humble, very temporary dwelling. Could even been a cave. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 explains that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So we know that he has no earthly possessions. We know that he borrowed a boat, didn't own a boat, borrowed it. He even borrowed a lad's lunch when he fed the thousands of people. Had to borrow the upper room. We're going to have the Lord's Supper here in just a little bit. Had to borrow the upper room. Jesus borrowed a tomb to be buried in. We need to not worry about the things of this life. We need to look and concentrate on things that are eternal. And that's bringing people to the Lord Jesus, praying for them. The Scripture tells us, as we read earlier there, that we have a witness inside our bodies. We're ready. Following this, we find then immediately after spending this time with Jesus, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, Jesus knows our heart, he knows what we're capable of doing, and he looked at Peter. And he says, "Peter, thou Simon, son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas," which being interpreted as a stone. You're going to be a solid rock for the gospel. You're going to stand on the word of God, and you're going to be a mighty preacher. Jesus knew that. He knows our lives. He knows you. He knows me. Do we know Jesus as our Savior? And if so, are we taking that simple message out? Is it in our heart, burning in our heart, to go out and get our brother, get our sister, talk to our family? Those hymns that we sung this morning, Jesus is coming again, he's going to come. Everything that we've seen in this world in the last few months just is evident that he cannot tarry much longer. Will you be the only one left if Jesus would come now? You go right into the tribulation period. Do you know Jesus? And are you ready to testify on his behalf? Didn't take Andrew long. Didn't take him long. Shouldn't take us long either. Please, be a witness. Be a witness for Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. Please guide and lead us and strengthen us through each and every day. But we know the only way we can have the guidance and the wisdom and the strength, the peace and the joy, is to be a child of God. The only way we can be a part of the family of God is to know Jesus as our Savior personally. So please, if today there's anyone here questions their salvation, wonders if they are saved, think back to the day that you met Jesus. You may not remember the date on the calendar or even the time of the day. You'll remember the place. You'll remember where you met Jesus. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is the day you start your walk with Jesus. You ask Him to come into your heart and save you. So please, Lord, touch every heart today, whatever the need is. Save the lost and stir the hearts of the saved, that we become a strong witness and testimony, that this body of believers will be a strong lighthouse for this community. Now please, speak to hearts, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.